Wonderful. Good morning, everybody. So, Rachel did an amazing job, didn't she, last night of taking us through the whole great big redemption plan of God in a wonderful whistle-stop tour so that we could see God's heart is others in. I thought that's just a brilliant little phrase to kind of capture the gospel message. God is a God on mission. I don't know if you ever thought about this next statement. The church of God doesn't have a mission. The mission of God has a church. It's good, isn't it? The church of God doesn't have a mission. The mission of God has a church. And we are just joining in with the missionary God, the God on mission. That's all that we're doing. And that all we have to do is just get aligned and get behind what he is up to. And then we see favor and we see fruit and we see life. We see wherever the river is flowing, wherever the Spirit of God is flowing, that's where there is life. And that's what we have to do. That's quite simply our job. See what the Father's doing and get behind it. God is always working, but the truth is the spiritual climate is different in different places, in different spaces, and at different times. So the gospel, the life-changing, flipping, brilliant good news of Jesus is always the same, but the mission field and the missional opportunities do change. And friends, I want to say to you that the tide, which has been out for a very long time in our nation, is coming back in. That we are in the grip of a slow awakening. That's something that my husband, who's very prophetic, said about probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and there was no evidence for it. He's saying, something shifted, the tide is coming in, we're in the grip of a slow awakening. It's like, couldn't see it. But now, it's not just the church that are reporting on it, it's mainstream media that are reflecting back to us what we kind of know and sense anecdotally, and all of the stats and all of the kind of the high-level reports are showing it. Even just on the ground locally, we've got something we call the precious document. And over the years, from 93, so that's over three decades, we've kept a bit of a track as to how many people have become Christians and all got baptized. On average, over the 32 years, the average has been 7.3 salvations per year. Last year, last year, September 24 to September 25, we saw 40 people become Christians. The year before that, it was 13. The year before that, it was 4. So we, like most churches, have just, you know, been kind of a little trickle every so often. Friends, the trickle is turning into a river. And so I want to say to you, get ready and get prepared, because people are finding Jesus. And the most amazing thing is people are being found by Jesus and then they're finding church. So it's not just the numbers that are changing, it's the order of the stories that are changing. We have been absolutely blown away by some of the stories of people who have just literally been turning up, and they are telling us how Jesus has appeared to them, revealed himself to them in quite extraordinary ways. There's a young man called Marcos, and he rocked up, this was a year ago, he rocked up at church, and his story is that whenever he closed his eyes, he could see Jesus. Completely unchurched, no Christian family, he could see Jesus. He was living with his girlfriend, very common, obviously young adults today, starting to talk to her. Do you think there's a God? I've like got this weird thing happening. I closed my eyes, I'm seeing Jesus. I don't really know what that is about. She had a friend who she worked with in a coffee shop, and her friend is an open heavener. So Marcos began to tell Monique, his girlfriend, ask Alice this question, you know, about suffering, about all the God questions. So at work, Monique would have the conversation with Alice and then come back and report. The two of them became more and more and more interested. And then Alice plucked up the courage and said, would you like to come to church with me? So they rocked up And Marcos said this. He didn't understand it, but it was like having eaten piping hot porridge and then putting a warm winter coat on in terms of experiencing the Holy Spirit. He was given a Bible on that first week. He read the whole of the New Testament in 4 days, came back the following week, and there was a challenge about prayer. And there was a particular word that was given about someone here needs some closure. And he thought, well, do you know what? I'm going to try praying. There's an area I need closure on. And for Marcos, his dad had walked out on his mum when his mum was 3 months pregnant with him. And he had only ever seen his dad once, and he wanted closure. Does my dad want to get to know me? Does my dad's side of the family, you know, shall I close that door? He prayed the first prayer of his life for an answer. And then hours later, his half-brother messaged him and said, we've just been talking, our side of the family, and we'd love to meet you. Would you come over? He then went to an upper room, which is like a worship event. My Rich prayed for him. So that's just a couple of stories. And we've got quite a number of others. So I just want to say to you, there is a missional moment that we are in. This could be a once-in-a-lifetime gospel opportunity. And friends, we mustn't miss it. New atheism has failed. I mean, wow. With Josh Bloor, who heads up Pioneer Pathway, our leadership training, he just told this story. He said 10 years ago, when he first went to his fiancée's, then fiancée, now wife, home, her dad had on the coffee table a copy of The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins and God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens, and was very strongly atheist and just, you know, really took, you know, was very anti. And then 10 years on, they happened to share a Netflix account. So Josh and his wife and his father and mother-in-law. And he said to his wife recently, love, have you been watching The Chosen? Because I thought that we had watched all five series and someone's watching The Chosen. They went round to the in-laws. He's now watching The Chosen. And there was a Bible on the coffee table. It's incredible. It is incredible. And I think what's happening is, new atheism has failed significantly. It is a philosophy that is empty and it doesn't give answers as to how to live life in a way that works. Few stats then. Gen Z, half as likely as their parents to identify as atheists. This was in the mainstream newspapers in January. Bible sales have gone up 87% from 2019 to 2024. 87%. We're finding again and again and again the people that we are connecting with who are not yet Christians are reading the Bible. It really is quite extraordinary. This rise in regular church going, you can see, going up again from 2018 to 2024. University, a little poll, university students, 76% would say they would go to church if they were invited by a friend. So what must we do? Oh, this isn't working either. What do I do? There we go. In the light of this missional moment, how must we respond as individuals and how must we respond as a church? I'm thrilled that you guys are running Alpha. Everywhere I go, I'm telling churches, now is the time to run Alpha. Because, friends, it's not business as usual. It cannot be business as usual. There might be some things we have to stop, we have to pause, we have to put on hold, because now there is hunger, there is a spiritual hunger, particularly amongst the 25s. And what's really fascinating is Gen Alpha, which are the teenagers, the under 15s, are even more spiritually open than the under 25s. So there will be families who will be finding you, and the person leading the family to church will be the child of the family. That is going to begin to happen. You need to look out for that. And any which way to begin to reach out to teenagers and children, now is the time. And the EA obviously picking up on this exciting stuff that's happening in terms of people are starting to become Christians in a pace that we haven't seen before, then did a deep dive into how actually are people finding Jesus. The summary, God is at work. They're looking for something true and deeply satisfying. Those exploring faith have many, many questions. This is key. The welcome, kindness, and patience of church communities and individual Christians are playing a huge part. The Bible is very important in people coming to faith, and then in growing in faith and becoming a Christian is a huge thing. We don't realize it's like going from one world to a completely different world. And people need help. This is interesting. How long is it taking people to come to faith? When I used to talk about evangelism training, the stat was always it took about 4 years from first hearing the gospel. Look at this. It's now reducing very significantly to about 6 months to a year. Now, what you need to understand is that people are much more ready to commit to Jesus without understanding the full implications of the gospel. So they're committing because life does not work right now. Particularly the younger generation, they are at the sharp end of society that no longer works because we push God to the edges. They're at the sharp end. We know all this, don't we, in terms of obviously mental health. And so they are saying yes, please, to the truth that maybe there's someone out there bigger and understands it all and loves them. Loves them because he loves them because he loves them. They're saying, yes, please, I want in. But then there are many, many questions. And so our discipleship is needing to start further back. What words best describe participants' journeys of exploring the Christian faith? Challenging, hopeful, life-giving, comforting, encouraging. These are all from brand new Christians, this research. And then which of these helped as you explored the Christian faith? Really high attending church in person. Just talking to Rachel, she's amazing. They've got a church building and they're just finding lining the steps with candles and just having the doors open and a cross lit at the far end. People are literally just walking in. So we need to be thinking about invitation. This is what I'm realizing. For those of us who've been Christians for a long, long time, we have almost compartmentalized the different areas of our life, and we've sort of assumed, oh, there will be apathy, passivity, and hostility if I invite people. That is changing. And so if you have got just a little bit kind of defeated, discouraged, disillusioned at inviting people to Alpha or to church, change the mindset. And as you start to get more and more new Christians, watch how they invite their friends because they don't compartmentalize. It's like their heart on their sleeve. I found someone amazing. Let me introduce you to him. So I'm feeling really challenged by how blatant and how upfront our new Christians are. I mean, it's so fascinating. A lot of the lads, Loughborough is a very sporty university, so quite a lot of them are stacked. They're all wearing big crosses, like, T-shirts, big crosses on the outside of their clothes, and lots of clothing that now is so blatant. Like one of our friends has got a jacket on the back. Jesus did the work. It's like that. So there's a confidence and a courage and a sort of they're just blatant in terms of you need to get to know Jesus. So be led by the boldness and the courage of the new Christians that will be coming in. So yeah, attending church in person, reading the Bible, this is so fascinating. And again, it's a sign the spiritual climate is changing because I can remember, way back, oftentimes spiritual seekers might start reading the Bible and it was a fog to them. They couldn't make head nor tail of it. But we're just finding there's such a hunger to read. One guy, another incredible story, a young man, at a music festival, took a powerful cocktail that could have ended his life, a powerful cocktail of drugs. And this is his story. He said he collapsed. He felt his spirit leave his body. And he said he felt he came to a crossroads. On one side, he said he could only describe it as horror. and he felt he was going towards that side. And then he heard a voice say, I love you. And then quickly was pulled towards some light, then came back into his body again. Then he said, I was like, what? Who was that voice? The voice that said, I love you. Started trying to sort of search out, find out. Someone gave him a Bible. He said he read the whole of the Old Testament and knew that the God in the Old Testament was the same God who said, I love you. But when he got to the start of the New Testament, he paused because he felt whatever I'm about to read in the New Testament, right, he's never read the Bible before. He says, whatever I'm about to read in the New Testament, I know is going to change my life. And as he read through the New Testament, encountered Jesus, gave his life to Jesus. I mean, it's amazing. He turned up the Sunday before it was wildfires. We announced, oh, guys, there's no Sunday gathering next week because we're all going to wildfires. He was a bit gutted, you know, this brand new Christian. But somebody had a ticket and couldn't go, so gave him a free ticket to wildfires. So after being at church once, he then came to wildfires with two packets of crisps and a tiny water bottle and a tiny tent. And he's done a YouTube like blog on it. He was blown away by it. So, but reading the Bible, there's something that's happening. Have some of you heard of Discovery Bible Study Method? It's really, really simple. It's used often in other nations. It's the simplest way to read the Bible. And all it is you just ask the same three questions over any passage. What does this show me about God? What does this show me about people? And what must I do in the light of it? The same three questions. And what's wonderful about it, it's like a Holy Spirit-led way to read the Bible. And it means that someone who's been a Christian 3 weeks can read the Bible with someone who's been a Christian 3 days because you're just asking the same three questions. It's memorable, simple, repeatable. And so what we've done, and we've just, because all this interest in reading the Bible, so we've just got 10 passages for people who are curious about faith, and that's 10 passages from creation to Christ. 10 passages if you're curious about Jesus, 10 passages about the amazing person of Jesus, and 10 passages that are foundation for a new Christian. And anyone can do it with anyone. That's the beauty of it. Doesn't need to be church leaders or, you know, anyone can do it with anyone, reading the Bible with others. So, which of these then? Oh, and then attending a course at Alpha, spiritual experience, hospitality, generosity of Christians. This isn't working again. There we go. Oh, no. Which of these helped you explore the Christian faith? Again, all of those. That's just the top five. I've just talked about the... This is for us as church. What we get saved with, we get saved to. One of my main kind of pleas to any churches I get to speak to at this time, increase your discipling of each other so that as people are coming in, normal Christianity is where people are doing life together, are cheering each other on, are challenging each other, sharpening each other, asking each other questions, praying with each other. Like, do life in such a way that as people come in, they are being shown what a spirit-filled, fully surrendered, whole life disciple looks like. So that's a challenge to all of us, is because what they will come into, the spiritual temperature they come into, is the spiritual temperature they will then replicate. So just have a think, what might that mean for you? So what we get saved with, we get saved to. So it's not business as usual. What did they do? Oh, this is really fascinating. In terms of when people do come to something like an Alpha course or to church, what really struck them, they like the worship, they often like the talk, but what really strikes them is the people. It's the people. One person said, I couldn't believe that someone was having a conversation with me and looking me in the eyes and not looking at their phone. Because, you know, on the whole, we're quite good at loving each other. I think actually one of the distinctives of you guys, you are a particularly loving community. You can just tell you are. There's depth, there's honor, there's, you know, there's a lot of love in this community. You're a very loving community. Basically, just what you think is normal is not normal for the rest of the world. Just offer it out. And people, if you create space in your lives around your tables, if you just open it up a little bit, people are going to be utterly transformed by being loved in the way that you guys know how to love. So what did people do? They gave them time, they gave them space, and they were patient, because people are starting much further back. They answered questions. We're finding there are so many questions. We're living with these kind of fairly new Christians. We have Tuesday night chat, and there's a whole load of questions that have been put into a pot, questions on leadership, theology, marriage, life, everything. We pull out these question pots. They're full of questions. Be role models, support, and invite. So the role that you play is absolutely critical. And I know people are saying, yeah, but I'm not sure I've got time. My life is so busy. It's so demanding. I guess I just want to say, like, it's not business as normal. Priorities have to shift. Don't miss it. Like, you know, we all of us have to eat. If you're eating breakfast regularly, invite someone to have breakfast with you. If you've got a dog, you need to walk the dog. Invite people to on a dog walk with you. If you've got an allotment, you need to tend the allotment. Invite people to come to the allotment with you. Like, there are ways to create time and space for what God is doing. Like, let's not be those who look back and go, oh, we missed that missional moment. Let's not, you know, when we are in those closing moments and we're looking back on our life, let's just go, yes, I got right behind what the Father's doing. So create space in our lives. Bit more information on what did they do. So I've just kind of said all that, but, you know, like, time, space, and patience. They describe Christians who journey with them as patient and not pushy. They gave time. They made themselves available to spend time together, giving the explorer time to think and work through issues. No sense of hurriedness. In a busy, driven society, time is seen as a generous gift. They had so many questions, and they do go to YouTube, obviously. You know, they do go to online to try and find answers. But they loved having a real Christian to talk with. They appreciated it when the Christian could answer their questions, but didn't even mind if they weren't able to. It's totally fine to say, I actually don't really know the answer to that question. Just the fact that you're being authentic and honest and you're spending time with them is so important. I think all of them had this common thing where they never made me feel stupid for asking the question, whatever the question was. Role modeling, the whole people are impressed by our characters, by the fact that we can be trusted, support, helping people emotionally, practically, and inviting. So there's some shifts that are going on in the church. One shift is from reaching to making. So reaching, we have to do, reaching people, alpha, inviting people, but making disciples. It's going right back again to the Great Commission. It's about making disciples and from attending to attaching. Not just attending, but attaching life on life with each other. Now, this is a bit challenging, which again is about the why we need the discipleship culture. Over previous decades, the stats are 73% of young teens have left the church by the age of 35. We cannot let that happen. As teenagers and particularly young adults are going to start coming into our churches, the kind of way that we welcome, wrap around. There's something called sticky faith, which is for a young person, if five adults have connected them in meaningful ways, they're much more likely to maintain their faith into adulthood. So the same is for the new Christians are coming in. And another sobering stat, some of you will remember The Turning, which is a kind of something that happened on the streets of Reading. Oh, gosh. Anyway, you know, a lot of people responded, but it didn't reflect then into people becoming part of church communities. So how can we create space in our lives, our homes, our diaries? What can we include new Christians into in our lives? So, I mean, in terms of the verses you've got up, he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. I feel like I am, you know, for decades, because Open Heaven started by a move of God. So I saw what it looks like when a lot of people can become Christians in a short space of time. And it spoiled me for anything else. So I've lived for 30 years praying for, contending for, longing for, dreaming for, oh God, could it happen again? It's happening again. It is happening again. And for, it's like the culture is waking up and the church is waking up. Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. This is the time to be fully awake, fully alert, what God is doing. And you know, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. However, whatever, it is not business as usual. Priorities have to shift. Let's grab a surfboard and ride the wave. Amen.